Outside the taxi window, on the way to catch my flight, I noticed snowflakes playing in the ever-failing light. When he dropped me at departure, it was really coming down, deep and crisp and even. It settled on the ground. It looks like Christmas, Christmas at the airport.
Really?
All the planes are grounded.
Who is this?
And this the fog is rolling in.
This is Nick Lowe? Oh my gosh.
We should be playing this at SeaTac Airport.
We should. This is great.
Request from one of our texters, actually.
I always wanted to do favorites. I always wanted to do thanks to this lousy weather, I'm stuck at the airport with you. About flights being grounded. Maybe we could do that this year. We'll do that this year. Bob never would do that one. We did Stuck Inside with the Flu. We had already done that song. We did the Carpenter version.
Okay.
Lisa Brooks has stayed for just a minute for a couple reasons. A texter has asked me if you could give an update on your crows.
Oh, really?
Yes. They were, and I can find the text again. They're coming in fast tonight. Coming down like snow flurries in here. It's amazing. A blizzard. It's a blizzard of texts. They thought maybe you had sent your crows south for the winter. So what's the update?
Well, Drinky and Chunky Crow are the resident crows. They live in a tree right behind my house, and they stay all year round.
Yeah.
And
crows don't migrate, do they?
I don't know.
I don't think they do. Because we have a couple crows that Melissa has been raising, or at least this year's new addition to the family. They're here. Yeah, all here.
Well, there's some migrant crows that do. They fly to Bothell every night, and there's thousands of them. And
really?
They usually use my street as like a super highway.
Really?
And they fly right at dusk. You can see them, thousands and thousands of them. But some of them stay right where they are. And Drinky and Chunky live there near my house. And they let me know when I let Mr. Motley out to go potty in the morning.
Yeah.
Drinky and Chunky are waiting for that door to come open because they go right on the wire right above the house. And they perch and they look at me and they don't even care anymore if I close the door. They used to be really shy and I'd throw out their walnuts.
Yeah.
And then they would wait for me to close the door. Not anymore. No, they just wait for me to open the door. They're there. I throw it and I just leave the door open and I just watch them and say, hello, crow. Hello.
Are they, you throw like whole walnuts in the shells? Or do you break them open?
No. I break them open.
Okay. Because Melissa throws peanuts. We have a huge, like,
in the shell?
A 10-gallon mason jar of peanuts, unsalted. She makes sure I constantly buy the big bags of unsalted nuts. We keep them in the foyer by the front door because every time she goes out in the front yard to either, you know, rake leaves or garden or whatever, they're waiting for her.
Huh.
She makes some
work for it, though.
Yeah,
huh?
but they do. They do. They come in and they try to get two or three at a time in their beak and they travel off with them. And we have a pup. We have a new pup at home.
Yes.
She's 7 months old, Ferris. And so now every time Ferris goes out in the front yard, the crows, they're a little jealous.
Oh.
I think they call like crazy when the pup goes out in the front yard with Melissa. Are they
alerting each other? It's like, watch out, this thing's outside.
Yeah, well, they haven't made any kind of – although they did fly right up and land on a wire right above us and go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
You know, like in the middle of a four-person yep. – we're all talking with the neighbors, catching up on how their kids are doing in school down in California and our kids doing school here in Washington. And this, you know, I forget which one it was. Melissa has their names and I can't remember, and I apologize to my wife that I can't remember. But it just stopped and dropped right in the group of people.
You gotta be careful.
Letting us know, hey, this is still our neighborhood from above. So were you able to find that song?
Not yet. Still
okay.
in my deeper archives.
We'll find it.
Okay.
Lisa Brooks and your sisters, we talked about the Twisted Tunes we've been playing this Christmas season. We played the little rummy rocker boy thing. But you guys sang.
Yeah.
On a Twisted Tune
that
with us.
That was super cool,
Yeah, we'll find it and we'll play it because it's a wonderful piece of work and it's timeless.
It would be nice to hear.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. Okay. Now, remember we talked about some things that would bring us all together. And this isn't a divisive story at all. It's a troubling tale of a cry for help. And we're talking about Ye, of course, because the whole world is talking about Ye. And not even so much the dinner at the Mar-a-Lago Thanksgiving dinner that the former rapper known as Kanye West, now known as Ye, had lunch, or excuse me, dinner down at Mar-a-Lago with the former president, with Donald Trump, and a white nationalist, Nick Fuentes, and Milo Papadopoulos, Papa Giorgio, whatever his name is, Mila.
All of your favorite people that will be returning to Twitter momentarily.
Yeah, well,
with one exception.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because Ye, after his recent, I want to say flirts, he's not flirting with anti-Semitism.
He's full on kissing it on the mouth.
He's French kissing anti-Semitism. Yeah. I don't mean to make light of the subject, because as the news reports we just had, Nicole Jennings reported how it's these popular figures, these social media icons, these recording industry icons, these political figures who are, you know, and the giving the seat at the table is the perfect, you know, analogy for what they're doing, because they literally are giving these people a seat at the table of public discussion. And, you know, it's when Elon Musk bought Twitter, there still is a constant groundswell of optimism and encouragement and enthusiasm for a return to free speech, because there's this narrative that the people who used to run Twitter, who used to be the gatekeepers of Twitter before more than half of them were fired by the new owner, Elon Musk, that there was a censorship toward conservative viewpoints on not just Twitter, but almost all social media. And I've said before, and I'll say it till the day I drop, that no one is censoring conservative viewpoints. What's being censored is misinformation, dangerous misinformation, violence-inducing speech, hate speech. That's what's being censored on social media. If that leads toward a disproportionate number of conservative-leaning users being banned, it's not because of their, you know, fight for family values.
It's not because of their alleged conservatism.
Right.
It's because of their manners.
Yeah, and the dangerous,
quite frankly,
and as per Nicole's story, the dangerous vibe, for lack of a better, more accurate way to describe, you know, this championing these points of view in the main public forums allows people to feel, you know, emboldened
and justified,
yes,
in their violent acts,
and they're taking it to the streets, to quote the Doobie Brothers. You know, there's been an uptick in violence and vandalism against Jewish communities, Jewish businesses. You know, Jewish cemeteries are being defaced, and Ye went from his dinner at Mar-a-Lago to Alex Jones's InfoWars, where he dialed the crazy up to 12, and
I have never seen that expression on the face of Alex Jones until Ye's appearance.
Seriously, the jury in the Sandy Hook trial didn't get a look like that. But Ye goes on Alex Jones and starts, I mean, that's like a punchline to a joke. Nobody talks about the good things Hitler did. You know, he was a painter. He loved dogs or whatever. Whatever that kind of crap. It's usually a punchline. He goes on Alex Jones and talks about, you know, all the scientific or medical, you know, advances or accomplishments.
Here's one of the priceless clips from Ye's appearance on Alex Jones.
Thank you. Said it, the most Nazi-like activities I've seen, and the Nazis, in my view, were thugs and shook people down, did a lot of really bad things.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
Okay. We're going to get to that.
Okay. Wait, hold on there. Yeah, seriously, and the look on Alex Jones's face, like you said, Matt, I've never seen, when you make him cringe, you've gone too far. Well, you know, as Elon Musk purchased Twitter and promised to relaunch accounts, I guess, suspended accounts.
I was going to say, that's one of the aspects of this recent story with Ye and Elon that is most intriguing to me. Okay, think about this. Elon promised a sort of amnesty where he's going to bring back these accounts that weren't banned for spamming or some sort of legal violation. Okay, so I forget the exact number, but I did read the analytics, and some of them were pretty big accounts. Now, when he brings those back, I happen to know because I was there when they got banned. I was active on Twitter as these accounts started to drop. Many of them shared anti-Semitic content and conspiracy theories about the Jewish people. And so much of that hateful conduct was what was removed in the past by Twitter's moderators.
Right.
So now, Elon has drawn this line where Ye's speech against Jews was unacceptable, and Elon said, no more, you're cut off. How does this affect the accounts he brings back if Elon himself is telegraphing that that's his line? Does he have to seriously look at some of these accounts and not bring them back because they peddle the exact same thing?
I would think you'd want continuity. I would think you'd want a level-handed display of moderation and literal moderation on both sides of all sides of any political view or whatever view it is. So Ye goes on there and posts an image that says, Ye 24, love everyone, love speech, hashtag love speech, with an image of a swastika or a Star David with a swastika in the middle. And so his account gets suspended. And then the text exchange between Elon Musk and Ye was also shared out into the world. I mean, you know, this is not love. Sorry, but this is not love. You have gone too far. Musk wrote in a text to the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, to Ye, whatever.
But this puts Elon in such a weird situation because apparently he has a standard, at least at some points. But he's doing something that's going to empower the exact thing that he's upset about regarding Kanye West.
How so?
Gee, I don't know. That might make him somewhat of a hypocrite. I mean, I'm just saying.
He doesn't really know. You know, we were promised, he doesn't know us anything. He owns a business. He can do what he wants with his business. You know,
could the people that are on Twitter before him.
Exactly. You made that point so many times, and it's such a great point. It's not the public square. It's a private business. And just like any restaurant owner can refuse service for any number of reasons, hell, no shoes will get you lack of service in a restaurant. Hate speech will definitely get you barred from a restaurant.
Imagine how shocked I was when I found out you can't dine out naked in this town.
I don't want to go. Thanks for that. That's my new diet plan, by the way. Thinking of a restaurant full of naked people. I don't care how. I don't know. Can't do that. So Ye's been suspended from Twitter. We don't know if it's a temporary suspension or if it's a permanent suspension. I mean, who the hell knows? The word permanent has no value anymore.
Well, it initially said 12 hours, and right. He got the notice. But then his account is actually deleted. It's not there if you go to his account page, which means he has been suspended.
Is it over on Truth Social? Probably not after those two guys.
Well, he's probably not on Parler now either because his deal fell through with that. So maybe they're not in good standing. But I think he's on Instagram still, I think.
Yeah. It's a troubling time. And I don't mean to make fun. I'm not doing this to make fun of Ye, which is for me weird. I can't. Yay.
There's nothing fun about this. This is terrible.
It's sad. It's sad and troubling. You know, but to your point that this is emboldening people, there's an uptick in violence and vandalism.
So what does Elon ban Ye and restore David Duke's account? I mean, how does this shake out?
Well, I think he better reinstate the moderation panel. Maybe the ones he had before or augment those with people of alternate political views to kind of balance out if folks were worried about one side being more penalized than the other. But clearly firing everybody who used to monitor content was not the way to go about doing this. I don't know how this business model survives. You know, it's not like he has to spend any money on advertising. Getting all the free publicity he could possibly stand and then some. But damaging the brand? You know, he's a businessman. He's a smart businessman.
And now even the people that are cheering for Musk and want this absolutist free speech are now looking at Musk going, well, you banned somebody for posting. He's in an unwinnable position.
Yeah, he has put himself, he has tweeted himself into a corner completely.
Greed and hubris. Hubris and greed.
Yeah. That was a great morning show, by the way. Greed and hubris. Those guys they broke all the rules.
Those were the days.
But it's the most joyous time of the year. It really is. And, you know, and maybe we can have this moment to, maybe Ye can realize that, hey, I need help. You know, if everybody thinks what I'm saying is a bad idea, if everybody bails on me, if my business acquaintances, my business partnerships bail on me, my social media network platform bails on me, you know, who's still rallying with this guy? Who's he riding with?
The not insignificant percentage of white supremacists and anti-Jewish conspiracy theorists. Hate to put some coal in your stocking there.
No,
buddy,
sir, but- no, I guess you're right. But you know what though? If that's where Ye wants to regulate his message to that arena, then I won't have to see it. I can honestly tell you, I've never been into a was it Parler you said or 4chan, 8chan, whatever those weird dark web, you know, sewer holes of social media are. I've never seen those. I guarantee you most people probably have never seen those, right? What percentage of the internet users flock to these extremists? I mean, I know I'm asking a lot of you off the cuff there. Ballpark, what do you think? 10% of the internet use is out there in the fringe?
Hell no, I'd say 40.
40? Really? That much?
Absolutely. The amount of toxic, hateful content on the internet, especially when it's in corners that are not as mainstream, it's voluminous.
No, I hear you. You're right about that. I understand that there is unpleasant hate speech, whatever, offensive speech on 40%. I'll give you that. Are those extreme platforms, are they that prevalent too? Those, you know, Rumble with Parler, I'm calling them.
They're
extreme.
Not as large in numbers, but the thing is, most normal people aren't that engaged with social media.
That's
true.
You
have to be active. So the hardcore, hateful people
yeah.
that want to recruit, or you go down the
yeah.
rabbit hole of YouTube videos and you end up
yeah.
watching InfoWars, basically.
The algorithms feed you more garbage.
That is a recruitment tool, just like Twitter is a known recruitment tool for ISIS.
Yeah.
Same deal.
But, well, there's our...
That's your moment of joy.
There's a moment of joy. There's the coal for our Christmas right there, man. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. I appreciate you giving me some insight on that because I don't follow the guy by nature. I don't follow those channels by nature. It's nice to know that they're out there, at least from a cautionary standpoint. It's Cairo Nights. We'll be right back after these.
Mr. Nordstrom, you're a great guy. We love you even though your prices are high. Your reputation has never been better. The public knows that you're a real go-getter. Nordstrom, a great place to shop. New work employees feel they're ready to drop. They don't mind putting in 12-hour days. They're very happy to be cast like slaves.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, the Brooks sisters, ladies and gentlemen.
Aww.
Yeah,
aww.
He found it.
Thanks.
When I said we flew talent in from all across the country, sometimes all we had to do was look to the other side of the room to find the talent that made Twisted Tunes for us. Thank you.
That was cool. That was a long time ago. It was a reference to the Boz in that song.
Yeah, yeah.
What year was that, like 1987?
No. We didn't hear it until 89, so it would have been 90, 91,
oh,
somewhere
my
in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh. It's Christmas. Christmas time is here. Somebody mentioned in the text, and they were right, that Rudolph was released. The original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was released in 1964. First time it was shown in color. Burl Ives, a Northwest treasure, by the way. Burl Ives and the cast of the claymation version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the original version. Do you know the story on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, by the way, how that was written?
No.
So I want to get the gentleman's name correct. I think it was Robert May. Yeah, Robert May. Robert May worked for Montgomery Ward, the department store. And he had a young daughter, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was a daughter. I'm going to paraphrase this, and I apologize if I get any of it wrong. And he had a very sick wife who I believe was undergoing cancer treatments. This is in 48. So things were very primitive in what we knew about and used to combat cancer. And Robert May, in an attempt to console his young daughter and help the stress of a child with a very sick mother. He began telling her this bedtime story. He made up a bedtime story about a reindeer who was different and how he overcame his differences. And because she had a mother that was different and was fighting a battle with cancer. The mom eventually, they lost the child, and Robert May lost his wife to cancer. And he fleshed out the story and wrote a children's book. He made it into a book that he would use to read to his daughter that he made himself. And he shared it with his coworkers at Montgomery Ward. Montgomery Ward bought the rights from him and produced it to give for free to their customers at Christmas time. And they literally, I think over the course of maybe 6 years. May wrote the poem in 39. Thank you, texters. May wrote the poem in 39. And over the course of 6 years of Montgomery Ward distributing this to all of their customers at Christmas time, thousands and thousands and thousands of these books that were published by Montgomery Ward, the company, the store. Every publishing company in the world wanted to buy the rights to this book. And the company had paid Mr. May for the rights to the book. So they gave the rights back to him. The Montgomery Ward Company gave the rights back to Robert May. And they sold the rights to a publishing company. And, the book was distributed worldwide and the movies were made. And it's become part of Christmas canon. I heard that story about a week ago. Somebody told me that story. Somebody shared that story on social media. And it was an original story told by father to their child about how people who are different can still be not just special, but leaders and, important. And that's, if that doesn't sum up the whole spirit of the season. And Montgomery Ward giving the rights back to this man when they didn't have to. And so his family would never have to worry about anything again. Just a great, great story. Were you able to find that song I asked you for?
I was, yes.
Yeah. Can we play that here?
Sure.
Let's do that.
As well.
Yeah, because we're gonna lighten the load today. Kanye's got defenders, and not within our audience, but that kind of divisive stuff.
No.
Not that we're gonna air. Not that we're going to give attention to. No, not at all. Not one. Anywho, let's play some Christmas stuff.
He's so jolly, Santa's so jolly. Christmas night, he's in his sled where he belongs. You're looking great. Santa lost some weight. Santa, red cheeks glowing. Ho, 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 and you keep growing strong. I feel the roof shaking, that whole house quaking. Whenever you grab that sack of toys, then slide on in. So, skip that nap, Santa. Kids are climbing on that lap. Santa, jolly old Saint Nick's on his way again.
He He's So Jolly from Bob Rivers. I love that guy. By the way, that singer, I've forgotten a lot of this. You know, I haven't had a chance to do this at Christmas for quite a few years now. The singer of that song was a guy named Johnny Keys, local talent, local gentleman. Johnny Keys was an actor, by the way, who had a role in one of the most famous films of all time. Although, how do I phrase this? Careful. His face wasn't in the movie much. How about that? There was a movie called Behind the Green Door, one of the first mainstream adult films. And Johnny Keys was the star of that movie. And I don't know how we ever met. I think we met Johnny Keys because of that during our radio show. But we found out that he could sing, and he did a pretty good Louis Armstrong impression. So we made that tune. It's called He's So Jolly. It's Cairo Nights, along with Matt Butler. I'm Spike O'Neill. So, what do you want to talk about, buddy? that we aren't talking to our texters.
What are we allowed to talk about?
I know. We're not talking about anything we want. We really can. We can talk about anything we want.
I just hope that this year ahead, as we wind down 2022, I hope we all look at how we can do better and how words impact people, for better or for worse, regardless of your politics, your religion, where you're at in life, your status. Mind how you talk to other people. It can impact them more deeply than you know. And it can sometimes inspire things that are damaging, if not deadly. The power of the tongue, for good or bad, is a very powerful thing. It's something that we use every day in this business and is sobering when you really think about it. And I hope we all reflect on
that. Yeah, it's powerful. And you have to be careful that you don't just take this for granted. Absolutely, man. Good point. Texters, by the way, we appreciate your input on this. Please play Greg Lake's I Believe in Father Christmas, which is a great, great Christmas. And one of the great originals. People do like hearing the Twisted Tunes again. I appreciate that because we're going to keep playing them all month. I promise you that. Rudolph was first released in 1948 as a movie. Somebody sent a link to that, too. That's pretty cool. It's like an 8-minute animation. The original story of Rudolph. And the version we all came to know and love was released in 64. When it was all fleshed out with Hermie the Elf. Another misfit, right? Isn't that cool? That back in 64, that story of inclusion and celebrating difference was such an important message and wrapped into the message of Christmas. Santa was such a left-wing propagandist, you know, to try to talk about inclusion. And he's a big fan of commercialism, too. Santa's a big fan of, you know, a market-driven economy and letting the market decide.
Santa made all of those toys for free and just gave them away. I don't know that Santa's the biggest capitalist on the planet.
Well, maybe not Santa, but Santa Inc. Santa Incorporated is kind of the driving force of our economy, right? Christmas is the driving force of our economy. So there's a perfect analogy right there. Commerce and Christmas, essential to the United States economic model, capitalism in general. Yet it's also, there's room for inclusion. There's room for an elf who doesn't want to make toys. There's room for a reindeer. You know, and maybe Rudolph's only idiosyncrasy wasn't the red nose. Maybe he and Dasher had a little something-something. Who knows? You know? Doesn't mean he can't be a guy who can lead your sleigh. Can't be leading your team. You know? It's Christmas. Keep an open mind. Like Matt says, use your words wisely. You know, be nice to each other. And if you can't be nice, be careful. Make your point.
And when you get two red nose, remember, you can't fly.
Call a cab. Don't you try it, man. Call an Uber. Call a Lyft. Give up your keys. We'll be right back after these. Nice point, man. Good job. Good job.
Ho, ho, ho. another Christmas song.
Whoa!
Get ready, brother, for another Christmas song. They play for a month ad infinitum. One day it struck me, someone must write them. So, it's another Christmas song. Claus singing on naughty snow, reindeer ringing in the mistletoe, the manger's on fire, the holly's aglow, hear the baby Jesus crying, ho, 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 hey, it's another Christmas song.
Who's
Yay,
this?
Another oft-returning, royalty-earning Christmas song.
I've the got great Stephen
more,
Colbert.
So
this is the one you play? Okay.
Pay to download them. Hey, for another Christmas song.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights.
Listen on a silent night. Sleigh bells kissing by candlelight. The tree is frozen, the winter's bright. Who'd have thunk the wise man look so white? You, don't you want to sing along? To my humble Yuletide, dreamed up poolside Christmas song. Make it a part of
well
your
done, my friend.
Cannon.
Oh, and a listener pointed out, by the way, thank you for playing the Nick Lowe Christmas at the Airport. Elena, and she said that Nick Lowe became a father for the first time at 60?
I had not heard.
Christmas at the Airport was dedicated to his young son, possibly to play a bit more of the song. Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Elena.
Great suggestion. Great.
Seriously. Yeah, there's tons and tons of stuff to play at Christmas. Oh.
We should do a Christmas DJ set somewhere. Throw a Christmas party, have everybody come hang out, and we spin Christmas records.
You know, we have a special feature coming up on Holiday Magic that we're going to talk about next week. We're going to keep the cork in this bottle for a couple more days. But we might be able to put something together. That's a great idea. Another texter asked, who is this Conway person you keep speaking of? Never heard of him. Which I think is a lovely, lovely sentiment. Matt pointed out that...
We could only be so lucky.
Yeah, Matt pointed out that Ye was the third most downloaded artist in Seattle this year musically.
Yeah, the third most streamed artist in Seattle. Of course, number one was Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Number two, I believe, was Drake. And three was, well, Ye.
Yay.
It'll be interesting to see if his streams drop very much after this. I have a feeling that maybe in Seattle they will.
Yeah.
But I also think that there are probably some, Chan trolls and the like who will play his music over and over.
Boy, you know, I don't know about that. the genre of music that Ye is talented at, skilled in making. I mean, the man is an artist. And there are troubled artists throughout history.
The stuff he produced early in his career for other artists, particularly the beats and the samples, he did have a gift for it.
Absolutely. But that's not the genre of the – that's not your typical rally music at the white nationalist conventions, at least the ones I've seen on the news. Am I right?
As human history has shown, the enemy of my enemy.
That's a great point because there's another artist who is, in career reclamation mode would be Will Smith. And he's got a movie coming out. I think it's called Emancipation. It didn't get great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but not many of his movies really do, actually. But I think Will Smith is a brilliant actor. And, of course, we all know what Will Smith went through. At the Oscars last year, had a moment where he had to defend his wife's honor for the first time in, maybe way too long, given the stories I've heard about that couple, Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith. But Will Smith, thank you very much. The drugs are kicking
in. You're talking like he slapped you.
I know. Stay away, Lee. Will Smith has a movie coming out, and he's on this media tour to try to not just promote the film, but ask people not to hold the film, hold his actions against the film because so many people worked so hard on this movie. It's a true story about an abused slave who escapes a horrific slave owners and is tracked through the swamps of Louisiana, escapes to the north where he joins the Union Army, fights for the Union Army, and eventually gets back to free his own family. I mean, it's an amazing tale. And Will Smith is in the lead role. It's called Emancipation. It comes out middle of this month. Will people hold his Oscar actions against him? Will Kanye West, will Ye lose streaming, lose another livelihood because he's going off the deep end. And I don't mean to equate Will Smith's one night of, you know, bad self-control to what Ye's going through. I think Ye is a cry for help and hope he gets it. But it's, you know, we've talked about this so many times. Can you separate an artist's art from his outside of the genre or whatever, you know, discipline he performs in? Can you separate the two? It's Cairo Nights with Spike O'Neill, Matt Butler. We'll be right back. We'll talk about that again.